Joe's wife is studying for the LSATs, right? So this is going to be
she's taking the fucking exam right now.
She's taking the fucking exam right now.
So we're doing this NPR style. Yeah, we're fresh air in this bitch.
This is going to be the ASMR whisper episode.
Welcome to the Toilet of Hell podcast. I'm going to lick my microphone for the next 10 minutes. Will you see my dick, hey girl?
You guys remember the whisper song, Ying Yang Twins?
I think it was like their only, I mean, they had like a bigger jam, like a more boisterous jam, but that was their most popular one, but they had like a more,
yeah.
You know, a less one that was less about fucking and more about partying.
I think they were all pretty much about fucking. Anyway,
right. I remember incorrectly.
Anyway, you know, we're here to do the show. Things are happening, but we still strive to bring the best content experience to your toilet of hell. You know the voices. I'm Joe. There's Jordan and Breno. Fellas, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I don't think I talked about this much on the show, but I bought a sports car recently. It's a Toyota 8.6, and I bought this thing months ago. Like I've had several payments on already. It's just been in my life. And there's just like what people don't tell you when you buy a cool car is just the amount of like shame and guilt you're going to receive from your family as you try to exist in this thing.
I had never considered that possibility. Are they like, do not Tokyo Drift, do not ghost ride the whip, Brendan?
Well, it's more, so I'm from New England and we get snow 3 months out of the year. Three, okay? They believe that if you do not own some kind of Subaru or tank of some kind that can just be four-wheel drive all the time, every day, every second of your life, you're a complete fucking dumbass. So I didn't get that car because everybody has that car, and I've seen people drive this thing around. I've seen these exist here, and I've done a lot of research on like winter tires and shit. And you can do fine in most rear wheel drive cars if you get snow tires and you don't drive like a fucking idiot. So there's that. But I think it's just more the fact that I bought this nice new thing as opposed to getting some $400 Honda from the worst parts of the neighborhood that needed thousands of dollars of work to be roadworthy. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, you've got that Catholic shame all throughout, right? Like right. You need to buy a bad car and not spend much money on it. Like I feel the same way. I always feel that way.
Well, like financially speaking, it's the right move. For you to buy like the piece of shit and then fix it, you're always going to be ahead than if you were to buy the brand new car, spend $400, $500 a month on payments, pay for the insurance, and still pay to fucking fix the thing anyway. So it's like, I get it, but I mean, I've been driving shitty cars my entire life. And, like this one time it was just like, you're like, fuck it. Why not? Why not? I can afford it. I haven't owned one my entire life. I never got to be that fucking high school kid. So, yeah, I'm just driving it now. Fuck them, right?
Whenever I do something like for myself, which is very rarely, I have to justify it somehow. And I like to say something along the lines of, the world is literally ending. I'm going to do this one thing for me.
And that was my like angle too. Like my wife and I, between our health problems, mental and physical, we don't want to have kids. We're in our 30s. We're finally making money that we can put together and have something like a real life. Like retiring early is a possibility because we don't have these fucking crotch goblins just sucking up all our funds. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, life's good. And people are trying to take me down, you know,
all the haters. The haters are trying to take down Breno and he won't let them.
I mean, just mom, but she's a hater. She's been the hater.
Jordan, how are you handling the haters this week?
I'm doing okay. I gave blood yesterday for the first time ever, but so I did something to help people somewhere, so that feels nice.
You never gave the blood before?
No, never before. Lots of different reasons for not doing it, cropping up here and there, but just finally decided to do it, and it was kind of funny. The guy like laying across from me also giving blood before I started had like ice packs on him and like had to take his mask off and they had to like change his position on his bed. And this is all right before I'm giving blood for the first time. And I'm like, is this going to happen to me? What's happening?
Really?
And
then I was fine. You got stuck next to a baby.
Yeah.
I was fine. Nothing happened. I was done. So I don't know. Maybe he was giving a little extra. Maybe they were squeezing it out of him like a grape. But yeah, that was not the best thing to see right before, you know, giving up precious life.
Well, you know, you lost some of your, serum vitae, whatever.
It's good because it's not going to Peter Thiel, so it works out.
Right.
I mean, you could probably make more money as a blood boy, though.
You eat two cookies and you're fucking good. I don't know why this guy was just dying on the table.
I had a little cranberry juice and a Fig Newton and I was fine.
Yeah, right. Anecdotally, that reminds me of when I got my second COVID shot. Speaking of just babies and public places doing medical things, the guy that because they were doing two at a time, the guy that I sat next to was probably like 6'5", up in the 300-pound range, big dude with a beard and everything. And when they were about to give him the shot, this guy was just gripping the table with his big hand, just shivering and just going. And then when they finally put the shot in, it goes.
It hurts.
And then they put on a little Batman Band-Aid and he was fine.
It's like, Jesus, dude. I don't understand the lack of shots thing, especially when tattoos are everywhere. Tattoos are way fucking worse than shots. I don't know how these people get those, but have still have a shots problem.
I don't understand this whole thing about, you know, being a baby, about the most minor procedures, with the exception of the dentist, because that's fucking hell on earth, man.
Yeah, I'm my doctor baby thing, and the reason I haven't been to like a physical in years and years is because I just hate being yelled at for being fat. Like, it's just like, I know, like, I didn't have to go to 8 years of school to know that I'm not doing the right thing. I just hate being talked down to, and I hate paying some guy for really not doing very much.
Yeah, I avoided going to the doctor for years because of an offhand comment once about my weight, so I get it too.
Yeah, mine are very on-hand comments. I'm that kind of fat. They're very like, listen, Brendan, if you don't take care of this now, and I'm okay, fine. Thank you. Here's your $160 for looking at a chart for 5 minutes.
I mean, I know someone who was sent unsolicited, please join our obesity trial study pamphlets. So it isn't just us. It happens to a lot of people and it really sucks.
Yeah.
I've heard that a lot that, you know, I've never been overweight. I have been yelled at by my doctor for various things, but not that. But I've
heard call that a penis?
Exactly. this is shameful, son. No, I've heard that a lot, and that it really discourages people from, like, you know, seeking healthcare for things that are unrelated, or if it is unrelated, the doctor will focus on that instead, and it just makes worse results overall. I'm trying to like keep this stuff in mind, like, because I got to start working in a hospital soon.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not one of those people who says that the health issues related to being fat are made up. They're not. Like, it's not good healthy wise to be fat, but it's just like most people who are that big have an extremely hard time losing weight. It's not one of those things where like, you can just make small adjustments and see big results. I mean, it's sometimes for some people, it's not so simple as calories in, calories out. So like, I don't know. I just don't want to fucking hear it. Like, there's no bigger expert on how to lose weight than the guy that's massive, because he's tried everything and he's lost 4 or 5 here or there and gained 6 or 7 here or there for certain activities. And it's just, life's fucking hard enough sometimes. Like, just keep this old clunker going until I can get to my next metal show, you fucking dick in a white jacket.
Well, I think that's actually a pretty good transition point. We've been jabberjawing here on our metal podcast about not metal things, and I think we got to kick it into high gear. We got to turn those horns up. We got to flip that cross upside down. We got to give some infernal hails to the Dark Lord, because it's time to talk about fucking metal.
Are you saying it's time for metal news?
This is the news.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. What do you think, Jordan? Is it time for some metal news?
Probably. I assume at least half of the listeners have already turned this episode off, so we might as well entertain the other half.
Oh, fuck them. Look, we have a 10 minutes bullshit time every episode. Y'all know it, so skip ahead 10 minutes if you got a fucking problem with that. And if it's less than 10 minutes, then just kind of skip back a little bit, or don't be a dick and just listen to the whole show. Okay, thank you.
So, you know, we got a number of things that I wanted to do here that you wanted to do here. Jordan, why don't you just take it off the dome? Which one are we going to start off with?
Well, we'll start with the one where I have all the information in front of me. That's probably the best idea. Have you guys seen some of the drama between Max Cavalera and now former Soulfly guitarist Mark Rizza?
I saw one article that you sent me earlier in the week, and it had some pretty interesting details in it.
So Mark Rizzo has been Soulfly's guitarist for almost 20 years, which is, I mean, where does the time go? A lot of people think he was like the El Nino guitarist and then Soulfly forever. And he had some bands in between. He has some solo stuff. He was in a band called Committee of 13 that I actually booked in college. That they're one of those bands where like they should have been a lot more well known, because personally I think they had more hooks and better memorable choruses than a band like El Nino, but probably a little too similar and not a lot behind them. But he's been in this band for 20 years, and they were about to go on tour. I think they're going on tour in a couple of weeks, or actually this week. And suddenly it was announced that Dino from Fear Factory is going to be playing guitar for Soulfly, like out of nowhere. He just showed up in like a new promo photo, like obviously photoshopped in, and the black and white saturation was kicked up so it matched everything else.
How did
that's and, like, almost did, as good as the other Dino Photoshop you sent over this week.
But we'll talk about that in a sec. But sorry, how did like Dino Cazares of Fear Factory become the beef lord of like the 2020s when it comes to metal? Like he's in everybody's shit, and he's in his own shit, and he's just starting shit everywhere.
He's just very much around. He's very online. You can tweet at him and he will respond back. And I think he's built up a lot of, I guess you could say, clout among a certain section of metal musicians and metal fans that are steeped in the 90s, because obviously Fear Factory, and I'm sure Fear Factory has played shows with Soulfly and probably Sepultura. I think they might have been, they both were on Roadrunner Records around the same time. So I'm sure there's a lot of cross-pollination and working together. Probably the Roadrunner Records United album where they all worked together. I'm sure that happened a lot too. But yeah, just out of nowhere, Rizzo's out, Dino is in. And for a couple of days, there was a lot of, well, he left, well, he was fired, and neither one of them are responding, until Mark was being interviewed, and his first statement said, "I'm just going full forward with my solo project. It's just better for me. It's more of a healthier environment for me and my family. Being home more and to do my solo project, which I'm super stoked about." So there's that little bit of healthier environment that makes it seem like there was probably something going on. It wasn't a mutual splitting. And Max Cavalera kind of responded to that in a roundabout way, saying, "Right now for the tribe, I want to address something that is going on with Soulfly. Of course, it's about Mark Rizzo. He did not leave the band. We decided to part ways with him due to personal reasons. I wish Mark the best on his career. I want to thank Mark for the 18 years of Soulfly." So again, there's a little bit of, huh.
Yeah, he definitely didn't need to kick up a bit of dander there, but he did. So we got to go further, right?
We got to go further. And because of this story now, obviously, Mark Rizzo is being interviewed a lot more because people want to know. And he went on a show or website, I don't really know, Rock Talks, where he said, "This has been a very difficult year. I got no support from Soulfly. There was no sort of loans that were taken out for the band members or the crew. This is just the honest thing of what happened. I had to go back and get a day job. I was doing home renovations, working very hard, 10 hours a day. A Soulfly Live record came out last year. I never saw a dime off that. So basically, within the first 6 months, 7 months of COVID, I just said, you know, man, I don't want this anymore. I gave you guys 18 years of my life, and it was a great time. Back in the good years, it was great. But the last, I'd say, 8 to 10 years have not been very good. Away from my family, scheduling was crazy. It was impossible to have a personal life, see my family, make plans with my family. So basically, 6 months into COVID, it was just like, I don't even want to do this anymore. I'd rather just concentrate on my solo project and spend time with my family where I'm happy, where I get my credit for everything I do. I put 18 years in. It's a long, long time to be in the band. When COVID hit, I felt like, what have I been doing these last 18 years? Normally, you work a day job, you get support during a pandemic like COVID. And I was working very hard. I was doing plumbing, electric. Finally, my very good friend, Nick Bell, at God's Eyes Booking, he was like, listen, dude, I can get you back on the road to the states in America that are open. So he got me to Montana, Texas, Florida, doing my solo project. Oh. And then I was able to quit my job and get back on track playing music for a living and making money. Big props to Nick Bell. He was one of the few people who supported me during the pandemic and helped me to get back on the road. Again, I got no support whatsoever from anyone else. So it's a good thing. Again, I'm very excited about my future. And he was asked if it's fair to say that his decision to exit SoFly was based on financial issues. And he said, I would say that was one of the issues. For this year, yes. There were years that were good financially. But this year, again, there was no loans. There was no, hey, let's do a live video to make money for the band members. Or maybe let's do a special merch deal. A lot of my friends, they were doing special merchandise deals. I mean, if you look online, SoFly didn't do anything for the band members or the crew. It's just not right to do that to people during a time like this.
Man, I'm surprised that nobody in management went ahead and got one of those PPP loans or whatever.
I mean, you know who SoFly's manager is, right?
Who's that?
It's Max's wife, Gloria.
Oh.
Who has a very long history of being very difficult to work with for, I mean, I guess you can consider Mark Rizzo a hired gun now, even though he's been in the band 20 years. I think it's building people around her husband, Max, to keep things going, to keep the money rolling in, going back to his Sepultura days.
Yeah, that's always what you're going to find with, like, the spouse as a manager. It's just, like, obviously they're going to favor their own spouse and everybody else is just not really the band. I mean, especially you have a situation like SoFly where Max Cavalera is like the guy of the band. But yeah, you see this shit a lot when it comes to this sort of setup where the spouse manages everything.
Yeah, that's really like a throwback to the old days of like a kind of old school corruption.
Yeah. You got like Sharon Osbourne, obviously. And then
that's what I was thinking.
Right. Yeah, it's what everyone's thinking. You got Wendy Dio. I mean, we've seen this thing a lot and it just keeps happening. So you need to have someone who's, you know, more objective, someone who's like a third party, disinterested from everything, who can just do business and do business fairly, which is impossible, but it's better than having someone who just has that conflict of interest.
Every band needs a Colonel Tom Parker, just some shady motherfucker who came out of nowhere pretending to be some kind of military guy who will do all kinds of interesting things with your career to make a dollar.
So Rizzo continued with another interview on Sofa King Cool. Asked if there was a chance when SoFly was touring, when it was first announced back in June, that he would take part in the track. He said, dude, after the year I had, there was no way I was going to be able to get back on the road with everybody. There was no way. I was not in the state of mind to get back on a bus with a bunch of people that I haven't even talked to in a year, let alone other things. I knew I couldn't get on that bus. Honestly, I basically had a meltdown about everything about a month ago. It happens. I've been through a lot of shit, man, a lot of shit. And there was no way I was going to be able to do that tour mentally. I just wasn't there anymore. I didn't have it in me. There was no way I could mentally be healthy on the bus with everyone. And trust me, out of respect to them, they probably would not want to be on a tour bus with me either. I could have meltdowns from time to time. So it works for everyone in both ways. I'm definitely in a better headspace now. It's just better for everyone. And then as of right now, the final stopping place for this back and forth is another response from Max Cavalera. kind of explaining the change to Dino and responding to some of what Mark has said. I couldn't think of a better person than Dino, musically and as a friend, because we're still very hurt, mostly from the stuff that Rizzo has been saying. It hurts a lot. And it's good to have a friend that you could talk about it. And then musically, I think it's insane. To think of songs, especially the songs that have crunchy guitars, I close my eyes and imagine Dino's sound on some of those songs, like Downstroy and Babylon, because there's a lot of chugging. Soulfly always had chugging, but Dino is a whole another level of chugging. Dave Kindler has been playing for what? Almost his entire life.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I remember an interview years ago where he said like his favorite string was the fat one.
It's like, oh man,
I love it.
Don't you know any of the terms? Haven't you even just Googled it out of curiosity? What is a riff?
I could have my facts mixed up. I probably do, and people are going to get on my ass immediately. But in the early days of Soulfly, didn't he just cut off the high E string? He didn't use it.
Probably.
Maybe. I mean, Korn, they had the dreadlocks. They did that. So lots of guys were doing that. It was like a flex on how just low your music was. It was really weird.
The thing with this statement, Cavalier's last statement, is he's not denying anything. He just says it hurts his feelings.
Yeah, that's going to be the shit you see when you have no way to defend yourself. It's just talk about how it's like, whoa, we've known each other such a long time and you're just attacking us like that. Like, what a bummer, dude.
I think that you left out a detail in describing the back and forth. And that Rizzo said that somebody asked if he tried to get into contact with Cavalera, and he said, no, man, I don't even think he owns a phone.
I believe that. I believe he doesn't have a phone. I'm sure Gloria handles everything for him.
God,
goes, get on the stage, Daddy.
What a dream. Do not even have to interact with the world, you know, around you with your bandmates. Just somebody else handle that. That sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah. My wife's good at paperwork and phone calls. Maybe I can set something up when I go worldwide.
The Breno experience featuring Breno.
Yeah. I'm sure if I pay enough venues, that could definitely be seeing a U.S. tour pretty soon.
Yeah, man. We'll set up a double bill tour, you know. You would go first, of course.
Who the fuck is we?
No, man, this
doing
is...
doing the podcast for 5 years, but they were just hired. They hired guns, you know, Joe and Jordan.
I guess because we see it so often, but it never stops being weird to me when guys in their 50s and even older, like, get all, you know, drama filled about this. Like, I'm really hurt. I feel like I got stabbed in the back by my closest friends. Like,
you saw with Corey Taylor, same thing. He had nothing to say about Chris Fenn, with all his allegations about how he was ripping off the rest of the band. Corey was just like, oh, it's like a stab in the back.
Man, I was reading just this morning about, Simon Gallup, the bass player from The Cure for the last 40 years, leaving the band, and like him and Robert Smith going back and forth about over who's more backstabbed.
I mean, it's at this age, it's got to be about money. These guys are looking to retire. They're looking to like have comfortable little lives. And in the case of Rizzo, it sounds like he's just trying to like make by. It sounds like this guy, a question I had while Jordan was discussing this, it was just in my mind and I was ready to ask, was like, I wonder what these guys do when they're not touring. Like, how do they make money? And this guy gets right into it. He's in there plumbing. He's fixing shit up at people's houses. So I got to imagine that's the answer for a lot of these metal dudes who are in bands that are big, but not that big, like Soulfly and et cetera.
Yeah, like, was it Luke LeMay? He's like he's a master carpenter when he's not, you know, he's not doing the whole skronky thing.
Yeah,
I think maybe in like the mid to late 2000s, I remember someone from Boy Sets Fire was working construction and fell and like really hurt his back. So a lot of these guys work in construction. They work at the mall. They do data entry. They do these kind of smaller jobs to make ends meet in the meantime. Some of them teach, some of them substitute teach. Occasionally you'll hear one or two of them have like set up indiemerch.com and they're doing well. And they have some of these side gigs where they're working in the van going from show to show, doing essentially what is their real job, and then for an hour playing guitar.
Like, I know people don't listen to our interview episodes, but that's one of my favorite things to talk about with musicians that we have on, is like, how do you actually pay the bills while you do this? Because I found that's fascinating, that you have to, you know, you've devoted your life to making music, but I mean, that's not enough. It's always really interesting to me to hear what people actually do on the side.
Well, it's interesting to hear how a lot of these guys are tradesmen. I think it's a great idea to be in construction or be a plumber if you want to be into metal music, because if you have a regular day job where you go to an office, you're not going to be able to keep that job to go on tour for several months. But if you're like a contractor, if you're like a guy who can make his own schedule in his own time and just fix shit for people on your own terms, then you can disappear for 2-3 months to go on a summer tour.
Yeah, you don't have to go through a whole fucking month-long interview, will they give me an offer, like, thing either. Like,
yeah, for
join
sure.
You join the crew, you're out the next day, you can quit in a month when you're done with that job.
Something to think about for people who want to be musicians. Look at how you can make money on the side.
Or be a tattoo artist, but you got to be really good.
Yeah, or not. We've seen some tattoos, man.
I got a few myself.
I mean, alternatively, I would say it depends obviously on scheduling and plans, but getting an office job for 4 months, you know, in between tours, can get you health care, can get you some of these things that you need, can get you sometimes a steady salary rather than, well, the construction job's over, we'll give you a call in a couple of weeks when something else crops up, and having no health insurance and having no backup.
Seems like this is a really convoluted system when people could just have health care. Somebody should look into that. Not me, though. I'm not going to do that.
I mean, we already figured it out. They keep health care costly so that people have to go to work. Like, even the Democrats will agree that people have to go to work, so to make capitalism do what it does. You know, free health care gets in the way of that shit. Can't have that, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I know so many people who'd quit their job tomorrow if they knew that they wouldn't go broke, like if they got hit by a car.
Yeah, me.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been, I guess, it's always fascinating to me to hear about these fissures within, you know, such a long-standing crew. I guess, you know, even the old school metal guys are just as susceptible to, you know, personal grievances and money problems as the rest of us.
It all comes down to money at the end of the day. You can look at some bands and see, like, they never have turnover. It's almost always the same guys, unless some sort of life-changing thing happens and after 30 years they leave. But as long as the money keeps going in and everything's fair, they stick together. Like a band like Killswitch Engage, they really haven't changed any members all that much. So I think with a band like Soulfly, it's probably always been Max Cavalera featuring. It's kind of laid bare right now, 20 years down the drain, because you couldn't loan someone a couple of $1,000s. You couldn't do some special live stream event where people pay $10 to watch you, anything like that. It's just... Max is fine. Glory is fine. Good luck to the rest of you.
Yeah. What kills me about that is there was free money with those loans from the government, and they just didn't do it. That seems like that is a pretty callous disregard of their personnel.
Yeah. Do you guys want to feel way old? I recently saw, I think it was on Facebook of all places, like the Acacia Strain was celebrating 20 years.
I mean, most of those bands that were around then that are kicking and are still kicking around, yeah, they started in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
I know, like, whatever, time is arbitrary or whatever, but I feel so old.
2050 is closer to you now than 1990 was.
That sucks, man. I hate that. I hate getting older. Other people my age are like, age is just a number or whatever. I'm like, no, there is a meaning to that number, and my time is running out.
Well, hey, man, you're doing the thing. You're trying to get yourself set up in a new career. You're just, I mean, look, for anyone who feels that way, Sentience is a joke. It was a mistake. It's weird. Like, you were just lightning bolted into this weird meaty form, and just enjoy the ride. That's all you can do.
I will state that I did not ask for this.
No one did, right? So just fuck it, man. Let's talk about some other metal news.
All right. Thank you for joining Existential Corner. What do you got next for us, Jordan?
Why is it always me? I think here, I'll throw it back at you. You saw someone on Instagram tweet something horribly offensive.
Oh boy, I did. Yeah. No, I gotta say, I don't use Instagram. Every couple of days, Moshoff sends me something that I can't open because my Instagram's all fucked up because I haven't used it in years. So lately, he's just been on a real kick of sending me shit that Tommy Vex posts.
Bommy text. That's what we're gonna call it.
Yeah.
What's in your head? In your head, Tommy, 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 yes, your career's dead, better be right wing instead, Tommy, 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 oh.
So he sent me, I guess it's the story, like the things that disappear after 24 hours or whatever. I don't know how Instagram works. Don't ask me about this shit. He posted, this image of a man, with a receding hairline and a very, very large nose. I would say, a caricature of some kind, big nose, big lips, kind of swarthy looking. And the text around this says, wow, you know what? I might be a pedophile, but at least I'm not unvaccinated. And under the image, it says, hashtag liberals be like. I gotta say, I feel like this image is familiar to me in like a kind of historical way, but I'm not entirely sure. Jordan, have you seen something similar in the past?
Somewhere between the late 1930s and the mid 1940s, possibly, yeah. In Central Europe,
somewhere around there. It feels oddly familiar.
Well, it's like that that image, that caricature you would see on some cesspool like 4chan or something, with like the rabbi rubbing his hands together and sneering. It's that same exact caricature.
Yeah, it I will say, to his credit, it is slightly edited. He doesn't have the hat or the curls, but aside from that, it's the exact same. Yeah, this is pretty wildly anti-Semitic, which, I mean, if you've been following the Tommy Vex beat for a while like we have, that I guess that's the next logical step, right?
I think that's lame because, like, the Jewish caricature is so over in terms of, like, 4chan edgelords. It's all about soy boy Wojax now. Like, that's what it's got to be about.
Absolutely. The open mouth caricature, that's the one that's all hip and the rage nowadays.
Yeah, like the bald guy with the glasses and the really wispy beard. That's who you use as a caricature for liberals now. You got to get with it, Tommy. This is old shit.
I guess
this is a passion project for him. He wanted to share this.
What I find so fascinating about this is that if Tommy Vex let his hair grow out, he looks a lot like this caricature.
No, he's bald as hell. What does he think he looks like?
So I don't know. I think that he is currently involved in a huge dispute with his former management over money. And I think with a guy that, as we have said in the past, is nothing but inflamed dick skin, it's only a matter of time before he Again, this is my assumption. I don't want to speak words in anybody's mouth, but I predict in the future he will go on a tirade about who really controls the music industry.
He did play Sturgis this past weekend. We got to wait for live footage to start being posted to YouTube, because that would probably be a receptive audience for that.
I believe he'll post it on his own Instagram.
And I think that I'm really interested to see what happens from there, because his, you know, right wing fan base, it could be very divided by that, because, you know, a lot of these guys are huge, staunch Israel supporters. So I don't know if they'll support blatant anti-Semitism, or if they'll just go along with it because, you know, the biggest Zionists aren't actually Jews. I don't know. What do you think?
I just don't. I have nothing left to say about Tommy Vexter, his face. We really do have some. I gotta make a song about Tommy now. That's now on my plate, because he's become the new
Kotak attack.
That's right. It's now about Tommy.
He's more interesting than James Kotak, because he actually has shit going on right now.
He's actually like out there and doing something and tweeting more. So kind of dry in terms of metal news this week. I'm looking around.
And if you want to talk from one bad person to another, we could talk about Wino.
Yeah, Wino has been really, really going wild online lately. Can you give us a brief overview of what the latest thing is?
Scott Wino Weinrich, that some people know from The Obsessed or Shrine Builder, or about 20 shitty bands that people know and, you know, don't
Saint really Vitus. Talk about.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. He's been out of his mind for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, he has been Coco Bananas and very open about it. Big conspiracy theorist, believing that the government controls the weather. Heart machine stuff, all sorts of, okay, dude, sure. Recently, I believe, again, this was on Instagram, so Joe didn't see it. The Obsessed is on tour right now. Don't go see them.
He posted, not for any, political reasons, just because it's boring.
Yeah, boring-ass doom. You could see that for a lot cheaper and not risking your life to do it. He posted a picture of a beer cans and a glass of beer, because a brewery had made a specific Obsessed beer for their show. And he says, Division Brewery has made a brew for our show tonight in Arlington, Texas! ! I love Texas and am very happy to be back in the land of the free. State pride, fair and sane laws, and real patriotism are just two of the many reasons why the state rules. Big Ugly will try to undermine the state with weather modification, voting fraud, and diluting the core with socialist unelected swine. But they will never succeed. Come on, Arlington, Texas! ! Tonight, the Obsessed and the Skull, plus more. Let's fucking, and it's F-U-K-K-I-N, see you. !
Yeah, change planes in Dallas once you're a Texan. Get out of here. I don't know, man. I don't know about the harp or the weather machines or whatever, but I do have a bone to pick with them about almost killing me this last February. somebody should do something about that. They shouldn't allow the harp machine to go wild on the state that's so free of socialism.
And I just, out of pure sadism and curiosity, I looked up some older interviews with Wino, and just to get a sampling of how his bong-soaked brain works, here's an interview he did with CBS San Francisco. Ordinarily, I would just dive straight into asking about the album. But under the circumstances, I kind of feel like an obligation to ask how you've been holding up in our new weird American reality between the pandemic and the civil unrest. So this was done last summer, essentially. And Wino answers, you know, I think this is all pre-planned. It's sad and it sucks, but it's like like they were having all the conferences and planning for what they were going to do 2 years ago. I think the virus is real. I think it's bad. And I definitely think it's been weaponized. This is the opportunity that these people have been looking forward to for a long time to A, reset the economy or reset the global currency, and B, to basically just keep their foot on our neck even more. I mean, I personally think that this is just part of the big plan, and the big plan is basically to reduce or completely get rid of individualism. You look at the pandemic, you can buy liquor, you can buy cigarettes, but you can't buy books. You couldn't buy art supplies.
What? No. Ring that back. What?
You look at the pandemic, you can buy liquor, you can buy cigarettes, but you can't buy books. You couldn't buy art supplies.
I know he's like old. He's like an old man. Do you think he's heard of like Amazon?
Amazon's just what they want you to use, man.
Sure, but I mean, you can buy a fucking book on Amazon. I'd prefer if you bought it somewhere else, but you can buy a book on Amazon.
Man, I've been in bookstores during the pandemic with a mask on. I go in there and they were like happy to see anybody. It's fucking completely untrue.
Good Lord. I was at Barnes & Noble just, you know, a couple of months ago. I wore a mask. It was fine. They were like, yeah, our store is dying. Please buy something.
He continues, unfortunately. You couldn't buy anything that makes you an individual. I think slowly but surely, the powers that be, I call it the Big Ugly, and Big Ugly is capitalized, so this is a specific amorphous blob of, I would assume he's referencing probably something that Tommy Vex is referencing in his Instagram stories.
Huh. They're going to... Is it a question of some kind?
They're going to try to stamp out the individual is and basically enslave a few more. That's what I really think. That's my true beliefs. And the interviewer asked, are you close enough to DC that you've been able to see what's gone on there as far as a protest? It sounds like you're in a pretty remote area. And Weiner responds, I am remote. I'm about 3 hours from New York City. I'm up in the hills. I'm up in the mountains of the Hudson Valley in the Catskills. But my children and my band, where we rehearse, is in Maryland, which is very close to D.C. Sure, true. I was actually in D.C. visiting a friend of mine. He got a store down there. The only reason he's still in business is because he has money enough to pay to have his whole store sheathed in iron. He has the fucking iron riot doors installed. All of his competitors have either been robbed or looted. It's really sad. This is all part of a plan to try to turn people against each other. There are a lot of signs pointing towards government involvement in this shit. And that's the really scary part, you know. You know, and you go... Sorry, this is... I assume they were doing it word for word. And, you know, I'm sure Wino has some trouble mumbling through some things. You know, and you go you to kill people or cull the population. I mean, what do you do? How do you explain that shit to your kids, you know?
Man.
Explain to me. I'm assuming he's talking about iron bars on windows and stuff. But, like, the way he describes it, it's like the entire building is encased in just a solid foundation of iron.
Yeah, it's like a Gundam building.
So Superman can't look in it.
But not even steel. It's like iron, just like wrought iron building.
I'm just imagining the store. It's just like one of those tourist shops in DC. You know, you can buy like a I love DC bumper sticker. It's pretty wild. His concept that this pandemic is stripping away individualism is, I think, the most wrong thing I've ever heard.
Like, hasn't this been the time that a bunch of people have taken up new hobbies, whether it's like roller skating or macrame?
Yeah.
And people were home for months with nothing to do, so they did other stuff finally.
And the total lack of like support for, you know, people has made it, you know, you're on your own. You get individualism. You get to live and die no matter what happens. That's the real, shit that this country was founded on. You're on your fucking own.
finally got what you wanted.
What I really want to ask this guy is how, like, what happened to make him think that? What actually did he see, or what did he hear, or what assumption did he make to, in order to come up with something that's just such a total falsity, just a complete untruth, like saying you can't buy a book right now, you can't buy a paintbrush right now. How the fuck is that possible? How did he think that?
YouTube videos.
Yeah, I want to believe that there's one like Rasputin figure that is involved with every old school metal band is just whispering in their ears shit about like the globalist order. They're getting all the same information from the same one dumbass.
But I guess the thing about this, and I'm sorry for being so flustered because it's just so strange to me, but like the globalist order thing, that's like one of those things you can't prove or disprove in any really reliable way. And you can only kind of share these really strange, lurid little bits of information to kind of prove-ish your point. But this is just one of those things where it's like, motherfucker, any of us could have Googled a book and had it delivered right to our doorstep. How did you think that?
Any book you want, really, within like 24 hours.
All of the books you could have.
You're just talking about people who aren't too bright to begin with and have been doing this, especially for these older people, 30 and 40 years to diminishing returns and can't really come to terms with the fact that, yeah, not a lot of people are coming out to see The Obsessed anymore. And rather than, well, we've kind of overstayed our welcome, we haven't changed, we haven't really done anything to get back into the public metal consciousness of wanting to see us, it must be some other big global conspiracy that's keeping us down. It's the Meadows, it's all these different forces keeping us down, and no one wants to see The Obsessed on a Tuesday night.
He must have got kicked out of a Barnes & Noble for refusing to wear a mask or something. Something must have happened specifically to him.
For taking a book into the bathroom when you're explicitly told not to do that.
Please don't.
You got to buy that now.
It's all poo-ridden.
Here's the thing, too. I'm sure that The Obsessed is doing pretty well on their current tour. You know, we talked about that. The people are just selling out shows for what the fuck ever right now. They'll see. They don't care.
Unless it's a local band. Like, local bands, please realize that this is not your time still.
Oh, no, nobody will ever see you. I'm sorry, bro.
but yeah, no, of course, they're going to do fine. This guy is going to be allowed to continue to stand on a platform of, like, oddly nothing. I don't know who he's in support of or who he's against. It's just so strange to hear from this person, but entertaining nonetheless.
Yeah, man, I, there is something in the water with these old guys, and, it's possibly turning the frogs gay. I think fluoride. We need to look into that possibility.
Oh, it's fluoride. It calcifies your brain. Okay.
Chinese. Here's the thing, man. There are all these fucking Alex Jones, libertarians in Austin. There have been for years. It's the true curse of the city. And they've been at it for so long that we don't have fluoride in our water supply, and my teeth are so bad. I just want some of that sweet, sweet fluoride in the tap water.
Just give me some of that back. Can't you buy bottles of water with fluoride? We got some of those.
Maybe. I'm not really into buying bottles of water because comes out
plastic,
of
plastic. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not PC, dude. I get it. I one time had this guy who I fixed computers for, who was telling me all of this Polish guy, old Polish guy. And he was going off about how, you know, oh, the Chinese scientists, they are very smart. They test the mice drinking fluoride and their brains have calcium over them. And while he's telling me this, he's got these like hideous yellow vampire teeth just like, sharpened to these most insane points. It was so funny to me to see like a direct relation to this guy avoiding fluoride his whole life based on nothing, probably an internet article.
Well, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything, Bruno.
He cleans his mouth out twice a day with pure fresh urine, just gargling and spitting it out.
We'll look into that. We'll do some testing on that.
I want to talk to you about, I don't know, maybe the biggest single festival for metal that I think I've ever seen.
The week-long Hellfest? We already did that.
America only.
Aftershock, Monster Energy, Kick You in the Taint Tour.
Tattoo the Earth Tour. That's an old one for the old people. Never mind.
Family Values.
No, coming. And this is an announcement that's pretty far in advance. You know,
it's got to be Ozfest.
It's not Ozfest. It's never Ozfest.
It's always Ozfest.
I'm talking about Maryland Death Fest.
Oh, that. Okay.
Okay. So this is pretty far in advance. This is announced for May 2022. I know that things right now are pretty bad and uncertain. Bands are canceling their tours all over the place right now. People are getting sick. There is a possibility that things are better in May 2022. It doesn't look that way, but it might be. I saw this flyer for... I don't even think it's the full lineup announced just yet, but this is the most insanely stacked festival I think I've ever seen. Have you guys seen this yet?
I don't think
eyes are tired from reading it.
I haven't seen it. What are some of the names that jump out at you on it?
Okay, so let's just look at the top line, just the big heavy hitters, right?
That's the only thing to do when it comes to these festivals. I don't care who's trying to sell tickets to get onto it. I don't care. I want to talk about the big guns here.
All right, you got Carcass.
Okay.
You know, everybody likes Carcass. Everybody agrees that Swansong is their best.
Oh, really?
Excuse me.
You're not going to go with Heartwork?
Heartwork is definitely their best.
So you got Carcass. That's good. I've seen Carcass before. You
know, I like how we hit on actual metal music conversation for 3 seconds and then moved on from it.
We're still talking about metal because I'm talking about the other bands on this fucking stacked ass lineup, okay?
Okay.
It's really mean to the other guys in the lineup, Jordan. It's like, now we don't get to talk about metal anymore because we're moving on from Carcass.
God, we got to talk about Dismember again.
Let's talk about the rest of these other posers on the docket.
You really fucked my shit up here, man. Because I think that by far the band I would be most excited about if I could go to this is Dismember.
Yes, they haven't been around for a long time, so it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes, Dismember is... I think probably my favorite of the Sweet Death bands. Their shit is good. It's good and it's all good. I really want to see them play. Okay. That's fine. What about Morbid Angel?
What about Morbid Angel?
What kind of Morbid Angel? What flavor of morbid are we talking here?
Well, I believe that, you know, this one's going to be with Steve Tucker. I don't think they have Evil D back in the band. So there's a 0% chance of, you know, any electro pop.
We get I Am Morbid on the outside stage at 11 in the morning on a Sunday.
No, I haven't even worked my way through this list myself. I Am Morbid could very easily be on the lineup.
That would be awesome.
Man, I wonder if those two bands were on the same bill. Do you think one would play after the other?
I think one would drop off, honestly. I think I Am Morbid would drop off because there's less people who want to see it.
I think I Am Morbid would be like opening day at noon playing the smallest bar involved in this.
I want to see David Vincent do his country act at this festival.
Yeah.
Battle of the Bands winner, David Vincent.
No, you gotta go to a Honky Tonk to see him. He's beyond the metal. You can tell by his big hat. Okay, that's good. That's well and good. What about Obituary?
Obituary is good.
That's
the end of that conversation.
What about Bloodbath?
Bloodbath is also good.
I feel like they play Maryland Death Fest like every other year.
I think they do. Yeah. Obituary does as well.
And again, it's one of those, okay, who's in Bloodbath now kind of questions. Like, you have to Google it to see, okay, he's not in anymore. He's not in. Maybe I'll see him.
You can listen to Hellhammer performed by Tom Gabriel Warrior's Triumph of Death.
I'd rather just see Celtic Frost.
I believe I would as well.
But yeah. I guess it's the novelty thing. When are you ever going to see Hellhammer songs live, if that's your thing?
Well, Tom G. Warrior is doing double duty here because he's also doing Trypticon. So my man's working hard for the money this year.
I guess its schedules aren't set up yet, but it'd be fun if he just didn't get off the stage.
I mean, that's efficient, right? Unless I guess he wants to take a break, have a little snack, have a little juice box.
Fake Newton.
It's like a juicy juice. Like a
fruit punch. I'm going to go ahead and expose my ass here.
Oh.
I don't think I've ever heard a single Hypocrisy song.
And I don't know, like, metal fans are going to hate me for this. I never thought Hypocrisy really had anything that stood out to me musically in terms of, like, all of the metal death bands. They're like such a metal band.
It's just one of those things where the name turns me off so much. I just resign myself to never, ever listening to them.
their big theme is aliens, the Greys and UFOs and stuff.
You know, I agree. I like my mellow death. I like my Swedish Gothenburg sound and all that. Hypocrisy has just done nothing for me, but I encourage everyone to like look up some of their album covers, like The Arrival. It's okay. You guys like aliens. We get it.
Yeah. That's their, like, we get it. You like aliens. That's their thing. It's like a Monomarth. We get it. You like Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say, of the two, I guess the aliens are more palatable to me than, you know, your Axes of Odin or whatever the shit you yell while you braid your fucking beard.
While you compete on Forged in Fire.
All right, now we've got a few bands here that you're just going to see every single year at Maryland Death Fest. You got Suffocation. You got Mortician. You got Coroner. You got Sacramentium and Destruction. These things are, I think they're bog standard for this, right? I could be wrong.
It's like it's a Death Fest, and these are the bands. That's it.
Your usual heavy hitters.
Yeah.
Right. You got Violence, who is everywhere now, if that's a thing that you're into. You got Cancer and Massacre.
I like Cancer. I think that's cool. They disappeared for about 20 years. So, again, it's one of those, well, now's your chance to see them. So that's a good addition.
Yeah. It's really towards the, I guess, the middle to lower rows of this that I start getting more excited. You can see Frizzy Too Folksy, not to be confused with Shaggy Too Dope,
or the death metal band Folksy.
Right. It's Fabio Frizzy in concert, a tribute to Lucio Fulci,
which is a good diversion from. So that's nice. I'd be curious as to how people would respond to that.
I would love to see it. I'm looking forward to seeing the footage after it happens because I probably can't go to Baltimore. You got Monstrosity, who I would be really curious to see myself. Demolich, who always put on a fun show. Those guys are neat. Nunslaughter, which I did not think was still a band because the main guy died years ago.
They're putting out a new album this year, and I know because the PR keeps sending me the album.
Do you want to play that at the show or something better?
Better.
Okay, what's what we'll do?
Okay, I'm just going to list names here because there's a lot of them. Niflheim. Did I pronounce that right?
Good enough.
Nocturnus AD, Necrophobic, Dark Fortress, Archgoat, General Surgery, Haemorrhage, because we're English, Skit System, Blood Incantation, Imprecation, Bird Flesh, Skeletal Remains, November's Doom. That one's actually mixing up a little bit.
People are excited about Blood Incantation.
Of course. We got one here for you, Jordo. We got one Acid Witch.
Nice. Okay. Again, switching it up, that's good.
Yeah.
You have Putrid Pile, who I believe has been at every single one of these fucking things.
They're the unearth of Maryland Death Fest.
He's just like the guy, right? That one guy that plays by himself.
Yeah, he's got like his drum machine or whatever while he's doing his thing.
He should speak more kindly of himself. Putrid Pile is a mean thing to say about how he looks.
It's a fine pile.
Yeah, you're a perfectly good pile, Putrid.
You got Fuck the Facts. Ben, you've seen a few times, Jordan.
Yes. They very good. Two thumbs up.
Devil Master, a band that I am bummed that I keep missing.
I thought you were going to say Devil Daddy.
If only.
Festivals are not cool enough because they don't just slip in something really funny like that.
Yeah.
I think it'd be hilarious if they gave them a shot. Like, why not? If somebody drops off the bill, absolutely call up the former Five Finger Death Punch drummer to do your weird erotic Satan act. I think it'd be fun.
Well, that's interesting because I haven't ever seen a tour with Devil Daddy performing. Like, I don't know who they would usually play with.
That's a good. Who would Psychosexual go on tour with? Let's make our dream lineup here.
Yeah.
Some industrial bands, some new metal bands, and a couple bands that paid $10,000 to get on the tour.
Yeah. I'm thinking like psychosexual mindless self-indulgence tour would make a lot of sense.
In more ways than one. Knowing what we now know about Jimmy Yaron.
Yeah, and to prevent any kind of action, we'll just not elaborate on that one. Yautja is playing on this festival. If you guys get the opportunity, you have to go see that band. They are so fucking good live. Also, like, you know, the theme, the whole Predator monster, it's good. It's a great band. 10 thumbs up. Fucking awesome. Couple of other things here that that might seem familiar to you. Let's see, we got ACXDC, who I thought called it quits a few years ago. And we've got a friend of ours that you're familiar with, Jordan. Do you want to expand on that a little bit more?
You need to tell me who it is. I'm not looking at the list.
You're not looking at the list.
No, because you're telling us the list.
I'm not looking at the list.
Okay, I believe that you were on a compilation put together by this guy.
Again, I've been on a few.
Jordan's been on some comps, bro.
Chicago Cat.
Oh, Bruce Lamont?
No. You were on a compilation that Bruce Lamont put out?
Just fucking tell me who it is.
Well, now I'm not gonna.
Good, fine. I hope you don't.
All right, everybody, keep it metal. No. Tell us what it is.
No.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna look up. I'm gonna use my... this is... You asked for this.
Clack loudly.
Now I'm gonna fucking clack. Death Fest. Maryland Death Fest 2022, Baltimore, Maryland. I'm gonna have no idea who this is. I probably can't fucking read it. Like, the next two that I could read after everything he said was like Flesh Parade. Primitive Man.
Primitive Man's a good band.
That guy won't add me back on Facebook, so that's not... I mean, sorry, Twitter, so that's not true.
Wait, what happened?
He won't add me back on Twitter. He's not a good guy.
Oh, yeah, he didn't add me back either.
Not a good guy. Bad band. Terrible music.
I can't fault him for, like, not wanting to follow a podcaster.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, it's me. I'm cool on Twitter. How about Warfuck? Is it Warfuck, Joe?
No, what I'm realizing now is actually I fucked this all up and I'm thinking of a different band.
I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, no, 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 no. You did skip over Impaled, which has our friend Ross Sewage in it.
Yes. I think that Ross is excited to get on the road again so that he can put down his G.I. Joes, if briefly.
Did you mention Exhorter? They're on.
I don't think I did. Exhorter. They're the band that everyone says that Pantera ripped off that I don't think that's true.
I don't think. Yeah. Oh, Pantera went on YouTube in 1989 and...
I don't think that's the case at all. So what I'm saying here is that every band in the world is on this. More bands are going to be added after inevitably several of these drop off. I think this is, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to get some up and coming acts in the mix. Who would you like to see that's not already on this?
Limp Bizkit.
Do better.
I'm surprised there's no Tomb Mold on this yet, because they're one of those name drop bands.
I'm kind of surprised by that too. Everybody else, it would be a perfect fit with it, right?
I hope that whoever's scheduling this schedules throat and cough, like, one after the other.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Throat and cough, yeah. November's Doom is already on it. Not that I'd want
them on
it, but they're on
it.
Yeah, they're on it.
They've played a few years.
Not my thing. I don't know. I'm excited to see Warfuck. That's all I want to see.
I hope they schedule Warfuck and War Mask around the same time, too.
If I go to Whores Nation, can I get a Warfuck, please?
Really, underrated band name on here is Asthma Castle.
Good name.
Bird Flesh. I'd like to see Old Nick on this lineup. I think that'd make me the most hyped to have a complete fest here.
I would
Do
love
they
to
play
see
play live.
Yeah, I want to see how he could recreate that tone live. I want to hear it. I want to be able to like have my ears fucking bleed in that place.
I think the most likely and funniest thing is he would just like press play on a cassette tape and scream over it.
Yeah. I hope that he gets like a projector and it's like the skeleton music video plays behind him.
Just the entire time, all the skellies dancing.
All the
wildly.
Skeletons. Yeah, that's how that should be. And one of them playing a guitar.
Didn't a few years ago Gnaw Their Tongues played and people complained because it's just like one guy on guitar and another guy looking at a laptop?
I mean, given that Putrid Pile plays every year, why would people get mad at that?
Because metalheads are jerks.
Because Putrid Pile has cred. And that's all that matters.
Well, have either of you guys ever been to Maryland Death Fest?
No.
No, and I never will be. I can't imagine sticking around at a festival for multiple days. My back just won't allow it. And just being surrounded by the same looking guy in the same vest. I'm good.
Yeah.
I guess every story that I hear about it, it's like, yeah, it's me and 15 other sweaty dudes sharing a hotel room so we can go stand in a parking lot for fucking 15 hours like in the summer the next day. And it's like, I don't like that.
There's enough bands on here where if I was there, I would enjoy seeing the bands. But everything else that is involved with being at a festival is just deeply unpleasant in my mid-30s during a pandemic.
Yeah, it's like one of those things everybody always tries to get me go to Migration Fest, and it's just I see no reason personally for me to travel to one of these things. Like, I would want to see more than just the show if I were to go to a place I don't usually go. Like, I'd try to see, like, oh, what are some good places to eat? What are some, is there any museums, any kind of shit I can check out?
Yeah, like traveling to see music is... It feels weird to me. Like, I've done it a few times, but it's also been planned out with, like, I'm going to go on to these national parks or whatever with it, you know?
Yeah, but it's like I'm never going to get a chance to eat any of the food if I go to a fucking festival like this. I'm going to be stuck in the parking lot. I'm going to be fucking buying from the hot dog vendor for $7, $8. I'm going to get a hot dog that's 3 inches long and sucks. I don't want to do it. I want a big, long dong, okay?
With Migration Fest, you can finally meet people that are in your Twitter mentions in real life.
No, that's the worst part.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that, man.
So, guys, we're at time here. Is there anything else you want to talk about on the show?
I am humbly requesting that Dismember do a tour and come to Austin, Texas, please.
Fair enough. Jordan, what do you think?
I'm going to predict that. Don't get used to this lineup now.
Yeah.
I would say if you're buying tickets, buy it with the knowledge that at least one of the bands you really want to see is probably not playing.
Yeah. I want them to get Fulci on here, and then they play after Frizzy to Fulci. That's all I want.
I want to hear ICP's cover of the Frizzy to Fulci.
Perfect.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, keep it metal. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Rose leaves on the palm of my hand. As miles away, make the past sight. Your mood on the closer. You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
One, two!